This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Got a big hour coming up here on the program. Mark Zeno is going to join us down there from the Dirty South, the ATL. Talk all things Falcons and their prospects. Talked about the Bengals in the last hour with Dan Hort. So please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. Take a listen on your time. But Jensen, all good things, they got to come to an end, sadly. It happened for the Red Sox. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
It's over, but what a run it was. 15 straight wins, a double dip yesterday against the Orioles. Jensen, you loved the O's in game two. I hopped on the Kyle Bradish Express, and it made that train finally halt at 15 games. But that's one heck of a winning streak to turn your season around if you're a Bo Sox backer.
Yeah, that's the underlying theme, right? They're right back in it. It was the middle of June, and you thought this team for sure was going to be a seller. Well, hold the phone on that one. They are not only in the thick of it, but Dave, they would occupy the final playoff spot in the American League if those postseason games were to start today. For what it's worth, if you did have the foreshadowing and you decided to roll over a $100 money line bet on all of these games upwards for 15 in a row, you'd be $920,000 richer, Dave. So one day we'll do this. One day we'll have to be like, you know what? Okay, like a three-game sweep. You're like, let's start riding this team a little bit and see if we can get on one of those generational runs.
Oh, I'd love to try. That would be fun. Boy, it's hard to identify from the first game, right? To go, okay, the day that 14-game winning streak starts. If you can do that, America, or 15-game winning streak in this case, that would be pretty amazing. Talked a lot about these SEC media days. They're going to wrap up today with the final day of those head coaches taking to the podium. And it's been pretty interesting to kind of get a snapshot of some of these schools here, Jensen, Arkansas, LSU, Mississippi State, and Texas. We'll take to the podium today, and I think Texas out of those four, Jensen, and I, with all due respect to Lane Kiffin, I wonder, I don't know that the hype can be more for LSU, but I think Texas we look at in the betting market and think, yeah, we expect those eyes to be shining again and looking right down on this football team is a pretty good chance to be one of the representatives from this conference in the college football playoff.
They put their money where their mouth is, Dave. Seeing some reports of spending upwards of $25 million just in the portal. Whew. On guys that they've brought in for NIL purposes. That is crazy. I have asked our esteemed fill-in producer, PJ Glasser, to see if we can turn around some comments by a friend of the program, Jordan Rogers, on SEC Media Days, talking about one Arch Manning and where he feels the impact could be not only on Saturdays, but maybe what it could be on Sundays. For what it's worth, Dave, for people that don't realize, huge as far as the portal for Texas. They got Cam Coleman, all right, from Auburn. They got Hollywood Smothers from NC State and Raelique Brown, two of the top running backs available. So they just not only reloaded, but they are going to be absolutely loaded in the wide receiver room and also what they will have in a dynamic running back room too. Arch Manning may not have to use his feet really too often with that two-headed monster. So this is the win total doesn't feel so ridiculous to put them at 10, maybe even 11 wins, some good plus money opportunities on win total over bets for the Texas Longhorns here this year.
That's called a tease. We'll hear about that. Is it criticism of Arch Manning? Is he as good as the name on the last name that we have in the back of that jersey there down there in Texas? By the way, they are $2 betting favorites to make the college football playoff, and LSU backers out there, you can still get plus money about plus $1.60 on Lane Kiffin, first year down there in Baton Rouge. That'll be a lot of fun to watch as well. Always fun to watch Jose Ramirez play if you're a Guardians backer. And Jensen, you know this very well. When you look at that lineup, boy, they need him in it. They did as good a job as they could do without him. But with Jose Ramirez back in the lineup here, I think the Guardians got to feel pretty good about where they stand.
Certainly did. 15-15. They treaded water as best they could. He missed 30 games, so they were at 500 during his absence. Losing yesterday, we were on the Twins. We felt that Bailey Ober matchup would be really advantageous to try and neutralize the Guardians offense. Higher scoring than even I thought it would be, Dave, but the Twins end up doubling up the Guardians. Gavin Williams, Taj Bradley for the series finale today. Minnesota can earn a split of that four-game series with a win, and then a very critical road trip for Cleveland on the road in Tampa Bay starting tomorrow night for three, and then the battle for the Ohio Cup. Some say, Dave, the most treasured trophy in sports. Mm. I hope I sold the sarcasm. Did I?
Pretty good. I bought it. I'm with you. We mentioned earlier in the program, we heard from Pete Golding talking about his relationship with Lane Kiffin and how he doesn't look at it as a rivalry, right? Like we're friends and it's sports, but I can separate the two, the job and the friendship and that sort of thing. The 3M Open is underway right now in Minnesota, and world number one is the decided favorite, a plus 260 to win this. Next betting choice is almost $20 south of that at Kurt Kitayama. The reason why I bring that up in context with Lane is we just had this whole tit for tat, Rory absolutely blasting Bryson DeChambeau, and the golf world, Jensen, has been talking about that, this kind of catty behavior that you're seeing out there in the PGA Tour. And maybe they can't separate the personal animus they might have for somebody and something that they see, whether it's a rules infraction or not. Scotty talked about if rivalries in golf actually are good and if they even exist.
I think golf's different in a sense of a lot of other sports because, you know, my biggest rival week in, week out is the golf course that we're playing. I mean, I could never stop somebody from doing anything in golf. I felt like when I played basketball, there'd always be rivalries in basketball because, like, you're going to play defense against the person, and that is much more personal in a sense, like, because I'm actively trying to stop. Like, if you and I were going to go out and play one-on-one, like, it would turn into a rivalry because I'm actively trying to stop what you're doing. But in golf, we're always competing against ourselves in the golf course, and, you know, I've never been a big fan of personal jabs, so I don't think that rivalry is a big thing in golf just because, you know, like I said, my biggest rivalry week in, week out is the golf course.
That's an interesting take. Like, I love the basketball comparison, right? Hey, I'm going one-on-one. It's going to get a rivalry. We're going to talk, and I get that. But there was a rivalry for decades with Tiger and Phil, although we never really saw, like, a head-to-head Sunday-type feel. What do you make of that analysis that golf, because it's just so different than any other sport, that it's hard to get those natural rivalries, and his rival is the golf course.
Yeah, oh, it's fair. I mean, some of it is media produced. We obviously realize that. I remember David Duval for a little bit too was head to head with Tiger,
yes.
And he was someone that had an edge. No question, David Duval had an edge on the course. Dave, we are now in a day and age where athletes have an ability to. We have a saying for the brand. It used to be just about wins and losses. It is no longer that because a lot of athletes have diversified into other parts and showing your personality and, you know, things away from the arena or away from practice, things of that nature. So it is a bit different. I remember telling you the story, Amber Sabathia, wife of CeCe Sabathia, former teammate of mine. Amber is now a licensed agent, and she's done work with Hunter Green. And I was asking, a year or so ago, I said, you know, what's day to day like? And she goes, you know, not only is he such a great kid and he does so much to perfect his craft on the field, but he's got, you know, other things he wants to do off the field. And a lot of my time too is manifesting and kind of procuring those opportunities and avenues. So gone are the days, Dave, I didn't worry. I had our PR director for Cleveland come up and ask, hey, do you want a blue check mark next to your Twitter account name? I'm like, well, yeah, it means you're verified. Oh, okay. So it's really me. Great.
Great.
That was pretty much the extent of what I needed to worry about. And then it was getting the three outs each night to be able to help us win games.
Yeah, I think you're right. We ran some sound yesterday from Colin Montgomery, who got to world number two. That Tiger Woods was pesky at world number one. So the rivalry is a little bit different for this iteration of world number one versus what we might have seen a couple decades ago with Tiger Woods. LeBron James, he was the best in the world. I don't think he can lay claim to that any longer. But we don't know where LeBron's going to play. And, you know, some are going to consider him the greatest of all time. And maybe they're going to say that he can take his time to drag this out as long as he wants. But Adam Silver might not be one of those people, Jensen. And reportedly, talking about if there's a rift between Bryson and Rory, What about LeBron and the commissioner of the NBA? LeBron irritated that the commission is irritated that LeBron has not decided where he's going to play next year.
I mean, can you make it more about yourself, dude? Seriously, Adam Silver does not care. And I don't know Adam Silver, never talked to him, but I'm going to go ahead and say that the bald brethren are moved on from worrying about your decision 3.0, 4.0, whichever one we're on. For what it's worth, Dave, if you would like to wager on these sorts of things, prediction yep. markets, I have the Miami Heat right now at about a 47% chance to land LeBron, Cleveland at 27%, Golden State is at 17%. We have had some fluctuation here, you know, the last handful of days. Of course, if you saw some of the issues with Miami Heat social media, apparently a leaked press conference date or video or what have you, those people, I think, reportedly no longer with the organization. But no one is waiting on bated breath. So it's certainly not Adam Silver when the stars of the NBA are many in name before you get to LeBron James.
Just for your edification, too, Cavaliers still out there in the prediction marks. It's 27% chance that he goes to your back to your neck of the woods. You ready for that drama if that 27% comes through? Could be very interesting in Cleveland once again, but maybe it's Miami. We'll find out. We talked a little bit about the Bengals in the last hour. We're going to talk about the Falcons in this hour because you know that's a team that I really like down there in the NFC South. Mark Zeno is going to join the program as well. So we're going to break down the Falcons next in the Daily Diamond, Daily Gridiron, rather, and then we'll get to the Daily Diamond and Daily Docket as well. A lot of dailies to get to here, right here on this iteration of Visa Final Bucks.
$30 million in gear.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
The quest right now for $18.7 million is underway. You can watch this series Wednesdays here on the network. That's where you're going to get new episodes at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can also watch these episodes on YouTube and at VSiN Live. The Circus Survivor documentary, we've got some great people on there. Stormy was on there this week in week number one. Her dad also with a cameo, Jensen. If you want drama, you want to see some of the best personalities and people who think they've got what it takes to win this whole thing. You got to check this out weekly. It's fantastic TV. We got a sneak peek. Everybody else got to watch last night here on a Wednesday night, Jensen. As good a production value as you're going to find for a football contest, not only the greatest football contest in the world.
It just makes you want to be a part of it, and I cannot wait. We're already way, way ahead. I say we in partnership with Circa. The entries already for Circa Survivor outpacing where we were by a fair margin at this point last year. So we know what the guarantee is, but I can't wait to see how far over it potentially goes when we get to week one.
I can't wait. I wonder, we're going to have to pick the Falcons. I know certainly in Survivor, I'm going to have to pick them. I'm sure you and I might have them play ons, play against. We're not sure yet for millions once we see those numbers come out. But let's do a further examination of those Dirty Birds, and we do it right now in today's edition of the Daily Gridiron.
This is the Daily Gridiron.
Had really good success the last couple of years identifying one team and kind of riding that team, adjusted win totals and the like. 2 years ago was the Minnesota Vikings. Now you're going to notice a theme. Jensen, you already know it, but if you're listening for the first time, it was 2 years ago with the Minnesota Vikings, and I really liked then. They were getting this guy, Sam Darnold, off the scrap heap to play quarterback with KOC, and I trusted that duo. They won 14 games that year. Jensen, I think my win total that year was 6.5 with an adjusted win total of 7.5. It's one of the best outcomes that you could have had that year. And then last year, my team, as you well know, was the Seattle Seahawks. I picked them to win the West. I picked them the win total, picked them the adjusted win total over. And we all know what happened there as they go all the way to the Super Bowl. Now, trying to go 3 for 3 here. And the big play on team this year for me, it is the Atlanta Falcons. And the first thing that caught my eye was the upgrade at head coach. With all due respect to Raheem Morris, I covered Raheem in D.C. He's a really nice guy. I just don't know, as great coordinator, don't know as a head coach if that's exactly worked out. Well, it didn't work out well enough because that's why they made the change to Kevin Stefanski. And now you're going to have two new quarterbacks. One old quarterback now, Michael Penix, if you can believe that. He's the holdover, but we know he's got a bad leg. And he's had a bad leg for quite some time going back to his college days. And then you bring in Tua Tagovailoa. So, Jensen, you know for me, those handicaps start with the quarterback, or in this case, quarterbacks, and the head coach. And I do believe it's a massive upgrade right there. That's why I'm playing that win total over 6.5, the adjusted win total over 7.5. I do like them to win the division as well. I got them at plus 475, still plus 425 out there. I don't know about winning the NFC at 55-1 or the Super Bowl at 130-1. But, Jensen, I think for me, at least, this is a big play-on team. What do you see when you examine the Dirty Birds?
Well, you love the weapons, right? Of course, in the backfield, arguably the best all-around, all-purpose back in football there with Bijan Robinson. You get Drake London extended. That was massive. Four-year deal through 2030. Kyle Pitts really emerging. We've been waiting and waiting. Career high, 88 catches, 928 yards. You know, looking at Brian Robinson Jr. To replace Tyler Algier. Remember, they had kind of that different pace of play when Algier would get in closer to the goal line or receiving out of the backfield. I did like what they did in the draft too, Dave. And Avion Terrell, the cornerback out of Clemson, that is A.J. Terrell, Terrell's brother, I should say. Avion
yes,
Terrell, my apologies. Zachariah Branch, another big physical wide receiver out of Georgia. So you kind of dream a little bit on the opposite side of Drake London there and Kyle Pitts that you could have a real serious down the field threat. Let me kick it back to you because we know that this team with Kevin Stefanski, it is going to be a lot of play action. It is going to be a lot of running through the tight ends with the passing game. That is perfect for Tua Tagovailoa to get started. He loves the intermittent passing game there. This schedule, it's 3 games on the road and 2 primetime games to start in the first 4 weeks. You got 2 big divisional tilts here, albeit that week 2 spot at home against Carolina. A great another nugget here from our VSiN NFL betting guide. The Panthers in their last 6 in Atlanta, Dave, 5-1 ATS. So already potential millions play there. Maybe a Falcons win, but they don't cover. Then you got to go to Lambeau. Quick turnaround on Thursday night before you have to go to New Orleans for Monday night. And let's extend it one further. You got 3 prime times. You're going to hit the trifecta here in 3 consecutive weeks. Thursday night football, Monday night football, and then at home on Sunday night football against Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. What is a realistic record for you through the first third of the year for the Falcons with that kind of daunting schedule that they have?
Well, if you gave me 3-3 and said you can just take that, put it in your pocket, I would run with that. That would be a fantastic start for this football team. But you're right, Jensen. They got to get off on the good foot. You know, Pittsburgh's going to be interesting in week number 1. And we saw what Pittsburgh did a couple of years ago. Again, different regimes here we're talking about now for both sides here with new head coaches and the like. Pittsburgh went down there, kicked a bunch of field goals and won a game down there in the ATL when Atlanta had higher expectations. I think that could be a surprise for people in Pittsburgh in that week 1 matchup. I really do think that's the type of game both those teams are circling as the type of games they have to be able to win. And they're going to have to win some of these games on the road in order for that win total to cash. I do think we're going to get over that 6.5 and for me to cash that adjusted at over 7.5 as well. But I do think this football team, Jensen, is going to get better as time goes on. So I don't know that I'd want to use them right away. That week 2 spot, if you're going to win that division, and if you're going to be plus 475, and I've got that in pocket to win that division, and I know others in the network have them as well, you got to win that game week 2. Because if you go back to last year, if you remember, they have a home game against the Panthers and it was a game they should have won. Somehow they didn't win, and they missed some kicks late, and it goes to overtime, and Bryce Young pulls it out. Guess who won that division? The Panthers. It's games like that that swing the balance in what we think is going to be a really, really tough division. I'll tell you this, too. One reason why I got excited about this football team is one guy they retained on the staff. You know this, Jensen. Certainly, I know this as well. In any professional walk of life, when you have new management coming in, you are on borrowed time if you're one of the holdovers. They normally get everybody out and bring in all their own people. Jeff Ulbrich is still there as a defensive coordinator. You know what that tells me? Not only did you interview well when you went up with Kevin Stefanski, but Kevin Stefanski knew this is a guy that I know knows how to coach defense. That defense can be very, very good, and it should be very good. If the offense and Tua, you know how I feel about the quarterbacks. I think they're a two-headed monster. It really doesn't matter to me in the handicap. I'd prefer it to be Tua long-term because I think he's got a chip on his shoulder, and he realizes, kind of like Sam Darnold and other quarterbacks, Geno Smith, when they get that second opportunity, they know they better do something with it because there might not be a third. Those are the type of quarterbacks I want to back because I know they're motivated. And I think in this system, and you know the system in Cleveland, what he was able to do there to win two-time coach of the year in Cleveland, Jensen, that tells me a lot that I can trust Ulbrich, I can trust Stefanski, and I can trust the offense is going to be able to do a good enough job to cash those tickets, hopefully all the way to the big plus 475 one.
Yeah, it is the most competitive as far as our guests, our analysts and experts here for our VSiN NFL betting guide. Seven of our 23 experts picking the Saints, six selecting the Bucks, six selecting the Falcons, and four selecting the Panthers to win the NFC South. So littered across the board, very evenly matched. Would you want any shares? Okay, let's be bullish. Let's kind of hitch your wagon to the hype train here. If they start well, and by well, I mean you look at that schedule, they win both their NFC South games against Carolina, against the Saints. Let's say that they go to Lambeau and win. And they, I don't want to say, if they start 4-0, I mean, holy hell, this is going to be ridiculous. Would you still, though, if you're this bullish, would you want at least some shares of the Falcons to win the NFC in pocket just for a monetization opportunity if they do start fast?
Probably I would. I would say this. You can go back to the Dirty Birds year that we were alluding to with Dan Reeves was the head coach. Nobody saw that coming, right? We do see this. Yep. I don't know that many people saw Seattle, and I'm not saying I saw Super Bowl, but again, picked them to win that division last year, right? And that cash was a big ticket for me last year. And this time last year, we were talking about this. I drafted them in one of our drafts that we had here in the network. And I would be that bullish on the Falcons in that same light. Now, part of that handicap is the division that I think it's so winnable. That's why I'm so surprised you could get them close to 5-1 not that long ago in what I think is really more of a toss-up. So for that, at that price point, became a very play-on team for me. But I'm trusting Kevin Stefanski and company to get this thing done. Let's talk about some futures that maybe we might be surprised with some of our experts here in the network. More football talk next right here. VSiN by the Books.
Onyx, I keep having stomach issues.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the Books, and the NFL betting guide is out right now. Whether you're betting those futures, win totals, divisional races, MVP, rookie of the year, or Super Bowl odds, our guide is going to help you get ahead of the market before training camp even begins. Inside of it, you're going to find breakdowns of all 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from all of our experts, feature analysis, power ratings, and so much more. Get it today with our football special for just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you will get out of it. So full access to everything we do across every major sport through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here. Mark Zeno is going to be back in the program in the very next segment, talking all things sports down in the ATL. We'll focus heavily on those Dirty Birds from the ATL. But right now, this is a lot of fun. So in that betting guide that we have out right now for VSiN Pro subscribers, We've got right now from PJ Glasser in for Joe Friso, doing a great job. Hopefully Joe is enjoying his vacation. We're going to be looking at some mystery bets that have been put out there. And we don't know who's made these bets yet, Jensen. But you and I are finding these out right now. If you're watching here on FanDuel Sports Network or on YouTube TV, we're finding out with you, America, when they pop on the screen. So our first option that we have for the first bet that's been made in the futures market. Oh, the Houston Texans to win the AFC South at plus $1.40. Jensen, this is an interesting team because I think we trusted the head coach in the quarterback combination. Do we still trust it? What do you make at that number of plus $1.40?
I picked them in our predictions for each division to win the South, and I am still bullish on D'Amico Ryan's crew and kind of where their defense is not only one of the best in the league, what 17.3 points per game, 277 yards allowed on average, second in both rush defense and pass defense DVOA, third in takeaways at 29. You get a lot of the same refrain here. And again, very front-loaded schedule, and we're going to kind of know very early if Houston is for real. They will open up with the Buffalo Bills at home, then they welcome in the Cincinnati Bengals, and then they get to kind of catch their breath, maybe? No, sir. They go to Indianapolis, where underdogs are 7-1 ATS in the last eight head-to-heads. So I do think they are the team to beat still in this division. All credit to Jacksonville and what they did last year. But I think CJ Stroud is a man on a mission. I think he has earned the trust and the faith of that locker room. And sometimes you got to see your leader down and how they react. And if they come back stronger, then you feel unbeatable. I hope that's the case. But boy, what a competitive division this is going to be.
Objection, Your Honor. By the way, you've already got the better of the number, Jensen, because this is already down. I'm seeing the plus $1.10 in some spots. So you're already 30 cents to the good. My objection would be this. I think you know that I'm a big fan of CJ Stroud. I like the young man a lot personally, and I really thought professionally was doing a great job. Now, what I have to hope for, if you're back in this ticket, is that what happened to CJ Stroud last year in the playoffs and it looked bad and they were talking about benching him at halftime. They didn't do it, which I thought was smart by the organization, by the way, if that's going to be your guy going forward, is he better have been hurt. And he was hurt a lot last year. If you're picking up what I'm putting down, because if that was healthy CJ, then there's some really bad decision-making problems that we have that would have to be addressed. So if he's healthy this year and he goes back to he doesn't have to be back to as great as he was as a rookie, but the confidence has got to be back. Jensen, that was my worry, that I saw an unconfident quarterback, and you cannot have that in that huddle. You just can't. So I'm not saying fake it till you make it, but CJ, like, you've got to lead those guys. They have to be led, and it can't be by passive, aggressive nature here. It can't just be let the defense get it done. You're going to have to take command of that football team again. It's got to be your football team. And Jensen, if it is, then I think you're going to get there. But I do have concerns about where he is going into this year. Is that fair?
Sure, and totally understand where you're getting at there. This is why this division, when you kind of look at it again in our betting guide, I think it is remarkable. 15 of the 23 hosts, analysts, experts picked the Texans to win the AFC South. Six on Jacksonville, and I know you were one of the two in the Tennessee Titans that are very bullish on where things can be with Robert Saleh and crew. So, hey, you got to prove it year in and year out. Jacksonville now the hunted, not the hunters. And how do you react with that pressure? Liam Cohen and company going to be a very, very fun division to watch.
But I'll tell you this, you've got a great coach at your back in a ticket with D'Amico Ryans, man. He just gets this defense. That defense isn't going anywhere. I don't know about the quarterback. That defense is going absolutely nowhere. They are legit. Okay, our second futures market bet that we do not know about in said betting guide is the Giants. Oh, boy. Under their win total of 7.5 at plus $1.15. I can tell you this. I do not have this bet. I am terrified by this football team as a Cowboy backer, somebody who's got some stakes in the Cowboys this year. Because I love the head coach. And then yesterday there was a video that came out. It's the New York Giants, New York football Giants. And then people are gleaning into that, Jensen, that's going to be a disappointing year. I don't know that I do at all. But what do we make of this? Because I do respect the hell, as you know, out of the Harbaugh brothers and the way they can lead men.
This is a team I need to really sink my teeth into a little bit in the coming weeks. And you and I obviously put a lot of weight on head coaches, and they are worth at least a win or two in these kind of scenarios. So when you're looking at a plus money price on the under, I could understand why people are so incredibly bullish on when you get the head man right, then you feel like everything else falls into place. That being said, we still have a young quarterback in Jackson Dart. We don't know what the availability of Malik Nabers will look like, and that is a huge, huge thing you need to know before you make this kind of a wager. And then Cam Scatabo doing the flips after the surgically repaired issue. Not exactly what I'd like to see from my potential starting running back. All that being said, if you believe in your glass half full that everyone's going to be right, this is a scary football team. The problem I have, Dave, they have the 10th or 11th toughest schedule in the National Football League before we get underway. You know the New York media as well as I do. They are going to be all enamored with one of the sexy matchups from a ratings perspective in week number one. They're in the Meadowlands against the Cowboys. Then you got to go on the road to take on the LA Rams. Back home, maybe for a breather for a couple of games against the Titans and the Cardinals. And then right back in the division against the Washington Commanders, who, by the way, Commanders last four have covered against the Giants. So four in a row, the Commanders have gotten the better of the Giants. Hi, if you force me to bet it, I'm betting the under. I'll take the plus money just because the back end of their schedule too, Dave, I absolutely hate the way that they've got to go out west to Seattle. They come home against the Browns. Then you got to go to Detroit, go to Dallas. And who knows if that final week 18 game against the Eagles is going to mean anything. But I would hate to have that kind of finishing stanza, knowing injuries are always a part of seasons at that point. It'd be an underplay or pass for me.
I'm right there with you, Jensen. I would have to play the under at plus $1.15. Just don't tell John that, because I really like him. He's such a nice man. So I hate to root against him. But for the money, I would have to play the under 7.5 wins. Okay, the last one that PJ Glasser has picked for us today here in the NFL futures bets that we do not know about yet, Jensen, revealed right now as, how about this, Jeremiah Love, under 900.5, so 901, rushing yards at minus $1.10. Does this surprise you? Because a lot of people look at this young man and say this could be your potential rookie of the year.
Yeah, I would say that, well, this is bold. And also, you know, they have Tyler Algier, who they picked up there too. So what is the workload? Is it going to be, you know, a guy that is a three down back right out of the chute? I would say, or survey might say, that it may not. Now, for perspective, in 2025, remember the Raiders took Ashton Jeanty, six overall. He had 975 yards and five touchdowns in 17 games behind a terrible offensive line. What happens with Jeremiah Love? Ooh, where are you at on this one, big boy? This is a tough one for sure.
I hate to go against it. I take the over. Now, look, again, because I do like the running back room, as you mentioned with Algier, James Conner's nicked up, but he's also on this depth chart as well. So I think they would spread out the carries a little bit. But I think you want to see what this kid can do. And you don't want to run him into the ground either if you feel like it's not going to be a potential winning season. But they really don't think like that like we do sometimes in the media and the betting markets. Head coaches don't. They're worried about their job security. And if this kid gives you the best chance to win, he's going to get 20 carries. And if he gets 20 over 17 games, I think he's going to get over that total. Barring injury, a lot of bad things could happen, that's for sure. I think I'd take the over on 900.5 on Jeremiah Love. We're going to talk more about the Falcons. Mark Zinno, coming back in the program, knows this team very, very well. We'll discuss it next right here on VSiN by the Books.
The Colonel's cooked up a new...
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, Beeson by the Books, on this Thursday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you, and we've been talking a lot of Atlanta Falcons football today as we break down each team here in the NFL. And we said, we got to have Mark Zeno on the program if we're talking things down south in the ATL. Does a great job at ESPN as radio host, 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, and does a great job as a betting analyst. You can check him out on X as I do, at Mark Zeno. Kind enough to join the program here on the Progressive Guest Line. So, Mark, before we get down to the nitty-gritty with the Falcons and beyond, did you re-up? Are you back in faithful service to this great country of ours?
No, that was a change of command ceremony. I've been given a brigade, chosen to command a brigade down in my my station, my unit in Puerto Rico, so kind of Fort Buchanan. So they're giving the old guys some more responsibility again, and we'll try to finish it out in style.
That is outstanding. Mark, appreciate you and thank you for your service. You and Dave represent the best of what this country is all about. Perhaps we might see that you get an old friend from my neck of the woods here in Northeast Ohio manning up the Atlanta Falcons now with Kevin Stefanski. Let me start there with you. Obviously, with the changeover in head coach and kind of seeing where this franchise is at, early thoughts and early returns from the Stefanski administration there in the ATL.
I think he's been excellent. Look, you know, if you weren't getting Harbaugh, Stefanski was the second best coach available on the market, and the Falcons grabbed him. So, but the offense is going to look dynamically different. He finally has some skill position players that, you know, he never had in Cleveland on the offensive side of the ball. He's got probably the best running back, if not the second best running back in football, in Bijan Robinson. He's got a high quality wide receiver in Drake London. Obviously, Kyle Pitts is still in the fold. His production is still questionable at this point, but he's got some weapons to play with. The other thing is he knows how to deal with mediocre quarterback play because he's pretty much dealt with it, with the exception of 1 year of Baker. He's dealt with it pretty much every year in Cleveland. So, look, I fully expect that Tua is going to be the starter. I don't think Michael Penix, one, is healthy enough, and two, there's not really a metric out there from last year if you look at it. And granted, you know, people in Atlanta will say, oh, it was Zach Robinson. He was a terrible OC, this, that, and the other. All of that may be true, but there's not really a metric out there where Penix is leaps and bounds better than Tua. Tua was better against man coverage. He was better in the fourth quarter. He has a better completion percentage. You know, I think if you look at all these numbers, when you talk about EPA per attempt, Tua outpaces Penix in every single category. And I think that Stefanski, who doesn't really have any loyalty to either one of these guys, will just go with the better quarterback, and that's going to be Tua Tagovailoa. So, but I also expect him, you're going to see a lot of two tight end, one running back sets, right? And you're going to see a lot of run. You're going to see a lot of play action. I expect the Falcons to play one of the slower tempos in the league this year on offense, and they'll give Bijan the ball as much as humanly possible, and they'll run. Remember what Stefanski did with Nick Chubb? I think you'll see similar production with Bijan Robinson.
That's fascinating, Mark. So when you're looking at tempo and the way that they're going to attack defenses, you're looking at ball control. Obviously, that would lead us towards unders. And then the other half of that equation would be their defense with Jeff Ulbrich. And I was mentioning this with Jensen. You got to be pretty good to be a holdover on a new staff, right? So what is it about Ulbrich that you think Stefanski said, nope, we're not making a change here. He's the right guy to lead this defense.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've been eating crow since the day he got hired because I kind of was against the hire. I thought it was too familiar. I thought it was too short-sighted in the thinking. And all Jeff Ulbrich did last year was go out and coach his tail off and have the Falcons have the most sacks in franchise record history. And I think they were second in the league when it was all said and done. They figured out a way to go get the quarterback, and the defense was great. Now they lose some key pieces. Caden Ellis is now in New Orleans. Obviously, they have the James Pierce Jr. situation, which I don't think is going to work out in their favor one way or another. But this defense is taking a hit. They're likely to take a step back, but they have unequivocal trust in him. The organization at the highest levels does. And again, it wasn't mandated that they keep Jeff Ulbrich. It was suggested, hey, talk to Jeff before you decide, you know, to go hire a DC. And they liked him, and the players know the system, and the players like him. And it's not just one of those players coach thing. They play well in the system that he runs. So I think the defense for the Falcons, I don't know if it'll be as good, particularly from a pass rush perspective this year, but it should be competent. Now, remember, you're playing in an NFC South division that, like, really has no high-level quarterback play. I mean, is Baker going to take a step back? Maybe. But even at that, the Buccaneers are coached by Todd Bowles, so that's automatically a step back. So the reality is that there's nobody really in this division that really takes it over either on offense or on defense. And the team that does that the quickest and the fastest likely is going to win this thing.
Yeah, it feels like first team to nine wins this division, and that could be very intriguing considering the Falcons have two big head-to-heads there, week two against the Panthers, week four on Monday Night Football in New Orleans. Let me dig a little deeper with you on the quarterback angle here. And is there a firm kind of timeline of where Michael Penix Jr. is, not only injury rehab, but knowing that Tua is that placeholder at the moment? If you played it out, how does this quarterback situation work itself out maybe in the first handful of weeks?
I'll never understand why NFL teams, particularly in the preseason, choose the dumb PR angle they did. Well, he's on track. I have no idea what that means. I don't know where the track is. I don't know where it starts. I don't know where it ends. You're telling me nothing. Instead of just saying he's not going to be ready for training camp, which is a very simple thing to say, when do you expect him back? Right now, his estimated return is by the end of training camp. Okay, thank you. Like, teams have 2 months to get ready for week one. Like, you're not, this is not privileged information here, whether it's Tua or it's Penix in week one. Once we get into like week two of the actual, you know, games, then okay, you can start to be a little bit coy about it. But so the Falcons have played this ridiculous angle of, well, he's on track. No one knows what that means. The reality is, for people I've talked to inside the building, he's not going to be ready for training camp. He'll be on the side taking doing work and taking snaps and doing that stuff. He's not ready to play football. He can do, you know, regular drills with nobody on defense. That's fine, but that's not football, guys, and you know that. So he's not ready to be hit by another player and do full contact, and he's not going to be ready for a while. I think it's Tua's job to lose.
I don't think they know who they're dealing with, Mark, when sometimes you're asking those questions. By the way, some people do like Tua Tagovailoa as a long shot for MVP this year. Can we wrap our head around that and say, all right, he's got a chip on his shoulder? Sometimes, as we've seen, retread quarterbacks at the next stop, man, it takes off for whatever reason. We got a kind of a long history, and it's getting bigger now with Sam Darnold winning a Super Bowl last year in Seattle. Could we see that type of rebirth, if you will, for Tua in this offense?
I don't think it's impossible. Like, you know, I love it when people use, it's low risk, high reward. Well, the problem is that when you say that, the guy actually has to have high reward. The difference with Tua is he actually has. We've seen 4,500-yard, 40-touchdown seasons out of him. We know what his ceiling can be in an offense where he's protected and where they move the ball. Now, again, does Kevin Stefanski look like there's an offense where your quarterback's going to be pushing 4,500 yards? Probably not. Like, I think the idea is control the ball, don't turn it over, don't beat yourself, and ask Tua to make enough plays in a game to help you go win it. I mean, the offense itself would be the one detractor I would have for him having this major, massive season. Now, again, did Sam Darnold have a major, massive season last year? No. He barely got to 4,000 yards, I think, which in today's NFL is kind of like a below-average season. And that's fine if you run the ball and play defense really well and you win games. Who cares how many yards you throw for? Don't turn the ball over. And that's the biggest thing. And I think that's where Stefanski will keep, you know, Tua out of trouble, is not put him in situations where he can hurt the team. Because in reality, again, he's learning a new system. You know, everybody is adjusting to what Kevin Stefanski is going to do here. Tua's best asset will be his ability to run play action, which is something he does well. And to this point in his career, Michael Penix does not do well. And with play action in play for Stefanski, things are going to open up wildly.
All right, Mark, that's a great little nugget. And last question from me, because having watched it as a Browns fan for many years, that play action and the involvement of the tight ends makes me very bullish on a Kyle Pitts regular season receiving yard prop. His number at DraftKings is 774.5. That feels really low considering what the usage rate could be for him in this offense.
A lot of Falcons fans will conjecture about Kyle Pitts, me being one of them. I don't think they needed to give him the extension for a guy who signed the tag, was showing up to play, wasn't complaining. I'm not really sure why you paid him now, because even if he has this amazing season, Jensen, like, you made him the third highest paid tight end in terms of average annual value. $2 million more would have made him the highest. What are we really talking about here in NFL terms of money? It's not that much. So I didn't think they needed to extend him. Now, that said, look, if Kyle Pitts goes out there with 800 yards and 6 touchdowns, it's a really good season for a tight end. Like, that is a Pro Bowl caliber season if we still have those sort of things. But the point is that a lot of people assume his ceiling is going to be very high. The one detractor is that when we've, in the past, we've seen Kyle Pitts only really ball out when Drake London wasn't on the field. Because if you ask any Falcons fan or anybody smart, who's Ham, would you rather have the ball in? Drake London or Kyle Pitts? Everybody's picking Drake London because he's the better athlete, more viable, has more explosion in him and everything else. I think Kyle Pitts is going to be used enough. I don't think Stefanski is ever going to eliminate a tight end in his role, especially one that can create mismatches. But that's really what it boils down to. Can Stefanski scheme him open enough for him to be a viable target and then feed everybody else after the fact? That remains to be seen. Again, why I was skeptical of the contract, because we have zero data points of Pitts with Stefanski and Tua in any system together. So to pay him without any data points, it was silly.
Mark, you're the best. We appreciate it. And our country is in good hands with your service. We appreciate that as well. We're back next year. More Beast by the Books.
Winner's Circle Proxy and